Welcome to the Unrest Podcast. I'm Madeline Green.
And I'm Caitlin Stansel. We are back with another real life haunt. And if you love what we're doing, you love the Unrest Podcast, please subscribe.
And for this episode's real life haunt, I was joined by Nicole, who actually lived across from a funeral home and cremation center. How would you like that?
I'm moving.
And she actually said that during the pandemic, they noticed an increase in paranormal activity. So take a listen to her story.
We moved from Oregon to Oklahoma. That's currently where we reside, is Oklahoma. And this house was empty for a long time. And we kind of lived in Oklahoma before and kind of knew a little bit about the house, but we didn't really know a whole lot. And so we rented it from a property management and realty place, and it was empty for a long time. And they said the people that lived there before, they only stayed for about a month and then they left. I thought, okay, that's kind of weird. Only for a month and then they leave. Like, that's not normal behavior. So we got the keys and we went inside and we were walking around the property before we moved in. And the first thing that we noticed when we walked in was it was really dark in the house. Like the back part of the house, it's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath house, and it's kind of raised up. So you have to walk up steps to get up to where the back door is. And so we noticed the back half of the house was really dark. A lot of the light didn't travel to the back part. And in the hallway is like an L shape. Okay, so to get into the house, you have to use the back door. So you have to go up the steps to the back door and then the kitchen. And then to your right, you can walk through, and it's a long L-shaped living room. And then from that, it splits to an L-shaped hallway, and you've got one bedroom to your right, a middle bedroom, and then a bedroom to your left, which is the back room. And then in the corner next to the last bedroom is a bathroom. It's like a really small bathroom. So when we walked to the L-shaped part where the hallway is, we looked down on the floor and saw there was a weird stain on the floor. And we're like, whoa, that looks weird. Like there was like a body there. So that kind of freaked us out. And it was in perfect shape of a body. So during the course of the time that we lived there, we did some research about the house and come to find out it was an old church. And they did some reconstruction on it, and they had an office, and they had a full kitchen, and they had pews, and everything. It was an old church. So they converted that into the actual funeral home. So we don't know if there were just like the receptions there, or if it was like viewings there, or we're not quite sure, because it was kind of vague on, you know, some of the research sites that we looked on. You know, you had to pay and some of that, so we didn't really want to do that. Yeah, so that's kind of what led to us not really wanting to stay there, but I mean, we kind of didn't really have a choice on the fact, because there's not a lot of stuff to rent around here. So fast forward, when we first started staying in that house, not a whole lot really happened in the first, like, 6 months to a year until we really started staying there longer. Then we started noticing, like, weird stuff was happening, you know. My husband said the first thing that really kind of freaked us out was the EPA actually came and swabbed our roof. And I was at work at the time, but my husband said they came and talked to him and said that they were taking a sample of our roof to make sure that the levels of of the dust that was coming off of the cremation was acceptable levels for us to stay there.
So, wow. That would kind of freak you out.
We were like, what? That's insane. Because, you know, that doesn't happen all the time. And that was the one and only time that they came to swab our roof. And we never did find out if it was okay to, like, keep living there. So... Huh. So that's kind of the backstory about the house a little bit. And the kind of funny thing about, you know, us living there is my husband, he is not a sensitive at all. Like, he did not believe in ghosts. He did not believe in the paranormal. He was like, nuh-uh, like, I need proof, you know, kind of one of those people.
Right.
Every time I bring up, you know, ghosts or, you know, stuff that I've seen, he's like, you know, kind of gets uncomfortable and just kind of like, okay, quit talking about it. But living in that house for as long as we did really changed his opinion of it. He was the one that first started to see apparitions in the house. He said one night he was sitting on the couch and the couch kind of faced the opposite, let's see, it would be like the south side window, maybe. Yeah, like the south side window. And he was watching TV and it was late at night. And he said in the hallway, he could see an old lady. And she looked, you know, like she was kind of using a walker down the hallway and was walking away from him down the hallway and took the left-hand turn and went towards the bathroom. And he just was like, what? That's, you know, that's strange. Why would she be doing that?
Right. Like, especially someone who didn't really believe in that kind of stuff. I'm sure he was shocked.
Yeah, he was actually kind of scared and just kind of didn't know what to do. And he said another time he was sitting in the exact same spot and cold hands touched his shoulders and went down his back. It gave him goosebumps. And our roommate at the time, he the same thing. He was there with my husband that night, and they did the same thing to him too. Put cold hands down his back, and he was like, "Okay, that's it. I'm moving the couch. I don't want to see anymore." So when I got home, we rearranged the whole living room because he said, "I'm freaked out. I don't want to see anymore." And then that was kind of the last, you know, that he saw of the old lady for a time. And he's seen her again after that, but it wasn't that strong. People that have come to stay at our house, they've seen apparitions in our house too. My mom, she's as sensitive like I am, and she was actually a Wiccan for a short amount of time, so she's like really, really more sensitive, I think, than I am. And she's seen male ghosts, she's seen female ghosts. She can kind of sense, I think, more of how many is in the house is like me, where I can see them, I can feel them, I can hear them. Like, I can actually, like, talk to them. And then, like, sometimes they'll answer me and, like, they'll talk back, or they'll send a message and I can actually, like, receive the message. So,
are we thinking that these ghosts are connected with it being connected to a funeral home?
Yes. She said that she thinks that the house is a portal because it's so close and it's a living, functioning home, and that people will live there, you know, and they like that they can interact with people,
right?
So they can live through the people that are there, and that's part of the reason that me and my husband had such a hard time, is because I'm, you know, very sensitive. You know, I've had to be very careful with protecting my family and our energies and our auras, and not let them get too close. I have like special sage that I got from one of my friends. His mom is a priest, and she actually blessed white sage for me, because I was telling, you know, my friend about all the stuff that was happening, and So she went ahead and blessed it. And I would sage the house like every week. I would go through and say protections and sage our house because the activity was just so much. I mean, it was physically and mentally draining to live there as long as we did.
And you said your daughter is there. Did she ever have any experiences?
Yes, she did. She would play in the next room over. We turned that into a playroom for her. And she would say that there was a man talking to her and would say, you know, it's not safe for you to be here. And she would say that. And then one time I was doing some dishes in the kitchen and I heard her talking and I walked into the bedroom she was at, and the door was like half shut, and I'd always leave the door open in case she needed me, and the door was like cracked open, and I thought, okay, that's weird. And I heard her talking, and she was talking to this little girl that I found out later was a little girl, and she was just playing and laughing, and I opened the door and I said, who are you talking to? And she said, oh, mommy, there's a little girl that I'm playing with. And she was about like almost 3 at that age. That the little girl, she used to run around in the house and play with my daughter's toys. Sometimes the toys in the living room would go off. They'd be like making noises, and we could always hear like laughing and giggling all the time. And we kind of knew that she was, you know, just a little kid, so it didn't really bother us as much.
More or less, they were spirits that were probably just still hanging on to something. You didn't feel any dangerous vibes from any of them.
There actually was a male spirit that was there, and he was an older gentleman, and I think he was in his late 50s. The sense that I got was he was very angry and he didn't like us living there, because I think he lived in the house like a long time ago and he died very suddenly. I want to say it was a heart attack that took him. That could have possibly been the person that died in the house, in the hallway that we thought died there. But I don't know much more than that. He was, you know, 50 and he died of a heart attack. He wouldn't tell me much more than that, unfortunately. Sometimes spirits, they don't like to talk about how they died. They will only give you so many details about it because then they get really sad or mad.
And so you don't live there anymore?
No, we were looking into buying a house in 2020. When the pandemic first started, things really ramped up and got really bad, like really, really bad. So where the house is located, not even a block away, is Integris Hospital. And they actually had a trailer parked outside because of the pandemic. It was a refrigerated trailer. We could see it from our front door. Mm. And so the feelings inside the house, got very depressed, very overwhelming. A lot of the times we would leave the house and stay overnight at my mom's because it just, the atmosphere was very, it felt like a wet blanket over the house. And so it got to the point where we were physically just like almost sick. Like, you know how when you get a really bad migraine and you just want to go lay down to get rid of the throbbing? That's how it felt in the whole house. So a lot of the times, yeah, we were like barely at the house. We stayed at my mom's house probably a lot during 2020. And then 2021, activity spiked up because we were looking to buy a house. Well, the spirits in the house that were there did not want us to move. They were very upset that we were moving to where they were, you know, you could hear a lot of footsteps. You could hear, one time we were sitting in the living room and we heard this loud crash, and we went to look and we had a picture that said Faith, and they had something had pushed it off the wall, and it took out the whole, like, tack and everything. And the picture was just, like, on the floor, and I was like, wow, they're really upset that we're moving. Let's stop talking about moving. We kind of stopped talking about it inside the house. They did not want us to move. I've got a couple other stories about the house. One time it was very late at night, and I was waiting for my husband to come home, and I was kind of laying there watching a movie with my daughter. She was there, and I heard the keys in the door, and I heard the door open, and I heard footsteps, and I called out to my husband, and I got no answer. And I was like, okay, you know, that's strange. Usually he'll say I'm home, or, you know, I'm here or something. So I got up and I went into the kitchen, and it was silent. There was nobody in there. There was no door open, nothing. I was like, whoa, that's very weird, because mm-hmm. I could have swore I heard him come home. That's the one time that happened. That didn't happen again, but it was strange. We had a ghost that was a doppelganger. They liked to pretend they were somebody else.
Mm.
That in particular ghost, I'm not sure if it was a kid or if it was an adult. Most of the time I see the doppelganger, I want to believe was an adult. My mom, she actually had an experience, I think, with the same ghost. She got up to go to the bathroom on Thanksgiving, and she bumped into who she thought was her boyfriend, and the ghost went around her and disappeared and went to the kitchen and walked, like, to the hallway. And she was like, oh, what are you doing awake talking to him? And she said, like, it didn't answer her. And so she went to the bathroom, and she come back, and she went into the living room, and her boyfriend was still sleeping. She also said before she's passed by a husband in the hallway, and she said, you know, what are you doing awake? And the ghost didn't answer her either. And she thought it was my husband, and it wasn't my husband. It was the ghost. So somebody likes to play jokes on us.
What do you suggest for people to do, since you are so sensitive and it's something that you've had to deal with? What's the best way to kind of go about talking to the spirits? And do you tell them just, you know, leave me alone, or?
Part of it is people's energies and people's auras are really strong, like mine. And so I've actually talked to people and have coached people and said, you know, you need to protect yourself. They like to approach you at nighttime when you're most vulnerable, when you're sleeping. It's the most time that you are vulnerable, that your energy is the strongest, because your guards are not up. See, during the daytime, when we interact with people, our guards are up, our walls are up against these strangers. They're strangers to us. Well, when we're sleeping, you know, we're in another world. We're in our dream state, in our dream world. So our guards are not as high. And I tell people, just picture a big shield around you. You know, you can protect your bedroom if that makes you feel better. You can protect yourself. And you know, if that makes you better, if that makes you feel better to tell them to go away, and I tell them, use a clear voice. Use a firm, clear voice. Go away. You know, be firm about it. You are not welcome here. This is a house of God. This is a house of light. You know, et cetera, et cetera. However you want to say it. But be clear. Be clearly. Be firm about it. And make your presence known. This is my house. You are not welcome here if you feel threatened or uncomfortable.
I think that was great advice to end this real life haunt with. I mean, we've heard so many stories over the last, how long have we been doing this now? 2 years.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of people just don't know what to do in those situations. And what a great piece of advice.
100%. I feel like if it was me in the situation, I think that's why I asked the question. What do you suggest somebody do in this situation? Because like we talked to Tristan a few weeks ago, you know, he felt like speaking to them, you know, was not a good thing for him. I think if you listen to Nicole, it's kind of, you know, your personal preference, whatever you feel like is going to help you and give you strength in the situation. So definitely a really cool story. I mean, pretty crazy to live that close to like a funeral home and cremation center, so much that they come and check your roof.
I have a lot of questions about that living situation.
Right.
And I would not want to be a neighbor of a cremation site. I mean, I just think like if they are having to come out and test your roof for this body dust or however you want to describe it.
Yeah, whatever you call it.
You have to be breathing it in.
So yeah, definitely an interesting story. I'd love to see if, you know, is someone else living in there now? Thank you, Nicole, for sharing your story with us. And if you have a story, we would love to hear from you. Email us at theunrestpodcast@gmail.com.
Or guess what? You can catch us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page and a Facebook group where we like to post some unique content as well. Follow us there. And we're on TikTok.
Yes, we are on TikTok. And until our next real life haunt,
unrest in peace.